Stand by for action.
Fascinating.
And now from Hollywood,
America's most talked about program.
So round, so firm, so fully packed.
No step too high for a high stepper.
I don't even get that.
What do you have?
I believe I will have another big arm.
Who let Joe Biden in here?
What do you hear? What do you say?
Go. I say go away, boy. You bother me.
I was going to foot him in. Foot.
Rock on, freaky bro.
It's the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest.
He's my little old dream ball.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation.
At the first sign of trouble with your retirement account, you've got to
nip it in the bud.
And the best way to
nip it
is to
call the man.
That's right.
Just call the man.
Call David Ernest.
Just call the man.
334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
Not that man.
Yes, that's the man. Call him today.
Call the man.
David Ernest has over 40 years of experience as an asset preservationist. And along with Matthew Ernest and Leo Williams, they are a formidable force against those who would ruin your retirement.
Shazam.
I'll say it again. Call the man today.
I thought Calvin Coolidge said that.
No, Floyd, it was me.
What Calvin Coolidge said?
Go even up Barney's sideburns and call David Ernest at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. You remember the name, right?
You.
No, it's asset preservationist David Ernest.
Golly.
Call David Ernest today. Late one afternoon, in Greenbow, Alabama, you could see a man running down the road. There was a young girl watching him, and she was yelling,
"Run, Forrest, run!"
Soon he was joined by another man, and together they ran down the road. A conversation began. Let's listen in.
Hey, Forrest.
Hey, Carl.
What you running for?
Jenny said the government was going to take all my money, so I'm going to see about taking care of that.
What's the government want to do with your money?
Jenny said that there were people coming over here, some from the land of China, and the government wants to give them my money.
That don't seem right.
There's a man in charge up in Washington. He's not like that nice fella I met years ago. There are people chasing him around with a screwdriver.
What they doing that for?
They say he's got a screw loose. I reckon they just won't tighten it up for him. But he's one wanting to take all our money.
I'd take him my car, but it ain't got no gas in it. Reckon how come they'd elect the fella want to take all your money?
Well, Mama says, stupid is, stupid does.
Well, who we gonna go see about this?
Jenny said there was a man. His name is David Ernest, and he can help.
Aight, then. Stop running, I reckon. There's an announcer feller over there. Tell you how to call David Ernest on the phone. We don't have to run till we give out.
That's right, Carl. You can call David Ernest at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
Aight, then.
Carl, where did you hear about David Ernest?
Heard it on the radio while I was up there in a nervous hospital.
Well, life is like a box of chocolates.
What you mean?
You never know what you're gonna get till you call David Ernest. I'm gonna go home now.
I think I'm gonna go down to Dairy Queen. Give me some French fried taters.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
I stepped on a chipmunk.
What you do that for? He just a little feller.
Good advice from Carl and Forrest. Call David Ernest, 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. And hey, Forrest is running home. Why are you running, Forrest?
I got to pay.
Sounded like he said he had to pee.
This is your roving reporter, and today I am talking with an elk.
Hey, man.
Mr. Elk, I was just wondering, What do elk do to take care of their money?
Well, like most smart folks, we call David Ernest.
You mean Alabama's most favorite asset preservationist?
That's him, man. We call him up at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
I see.
Yes, he is our preferred money man.
The money man with the money plan.
You've been paying attention.
Well, could you give us those numbers one more time?
334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. And I just want to try to give you a heads up, man.
Oh, what's that?
I'm not an elk.
Not an elk, huh? Well then, pray tell, what are you?
Knights of Columbus.
I am not even going to make a comment.
Well, the baby liked it.
From our super secret studio, asset preservationist David Ernest brings you The Health and Wealth Show. To contact David, Too Tall Matthew, or Princess Leah, visit the Ernest Financial LLC website at www.retirewithernest.com. You'll find client testimonials, links to classic health and wealth radio programs, and phone numbers to put you in touch with David Ernest. That's www.retirewithernest.com. Now, if you've been paying attention, you'll know that for the past 10 days, David has been on a fact-finding mission in France. Well, he has returned back home to the good old USA, and today we'll hear all about his great adventures here on the Health and Wealth Show.
Welcome to what we now call the International Asset Preservation Show here on this radio station. He's back from his globe-trotting trip all over Europe.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
Here he is. It's David Ernest.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, I have been missing being here on the radio show, but I'm back. I'm back. And yes, I've visited four countries in 14 days.
Wow!
It was very interesting. We went to France first. Every time I think about going to France, I think of the Coneheads.
We come from France.
I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of Coneheads there. I do believe they came from France.
Oui.
I don't mean that in a bad way. They're all running around with helmets on. Some of them are pointed. French military helmets, they had points on them, you know.
Yeah. Well, when you went to France, did you rip your pants or anything like that?
Yeah.
You ripped your pants in France?
Well, I lost my pants in France.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they lose your luggage?
Well, I didn't lose them. The airline did. They lost my luggage. Well, they claimed they knew where it might be. I called them up and I said, where are they? And it's sort of like you're in Sing Sing, now you're not. The Three Stooges joke, you know.
Mm-hmm. You are now in Sing Sing.
I am now in Sing Sing.
You are now in Boston.
I am now in Sing Sing.
You can't get this guy out of Sing Sing.
Good, that's just where he belongs.
Anyway, I felt like I was in Sing Sing when I'd call them because they would tell me, well, your luggage is in JFK. No, your luggage is in Atlanta. No, your luggage is at Charles de Gaulle. And I'm going, where is it?
I am now in Sing Sing.
And, you know, it's just on and on and on. What it boiled down to is the French, should I say the airport in Paris, they don't get in a hurry about anything. They just don't. It took an hour and a half to come from the airport to downtown close to the Eiffel Tower where we were staying. We're not too far from the Eiffel Tower. I can't remember the street. They said it's the richest street in Paris because it had a lot of diamonds and things on, you know, jewelers on that street, watch people and stuff like that. But it was a pretty neat experience. There's palaces everywhere. France has the Versailles, I think it's how you say it, and then they got other stuff. But we went there. We also rode in some 2C cars. They got two cylinders. They call them 2Cs. Evidently, they're four-stroke. They don't sound like buzzing bumblebees or anything like that. They got the valve system. And everything.
Is this a car that the front of it opens up to get into it?
No, you just get in it.
Just like a regular car. It's just okay.
The motor is so little, but they're antiques. Mm-hmm. They said they quit building them in like 1982 or 3, but these were like 60s and 70s models that would have been either refurbished or not. But it's a tourist trap, okay? The convention people, we had a chance to go to Versailles or Toussaint. Trip on either Tuesday or Thursday. I took two. On Tuesday, we went on the 2C car trip, and then on Thursday, we went to Versailles, which was about 20 or 30 kilometers. That got me saying it, dang it. 20, 30, 40 kilometers away from Paris. It was a unique trip on the 2C cars, two-cylinder cars, I guess you could say. They drove us around all these roundabouts. Everywhere, there's a big, gigantic roundabout. But you know what about these roundabouts? They're bigabouts. They're huge, bigabout roundabouts.
Huh?
Really? They're huge. If you put all the lanes in them, they'd probably be 15 or 20 lanes, but they don't exist. They all get in there and jam up and blow horns trying to get around the roundabout and beat the other person out. It's like playing chicken. You know, like, okay, I'm bigger than you. I'm coming through this hole. You know, and then they cuss each other out in France.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
I don't know what they were saying.
It just sounds good because it's in French.
I guess so. Yeah, in case you had, you don't even know that you've been.
I know.
I mean, you
thank you
romantic
so much.
Romantic language, you know.
Bonjour to you too.
Yeah, really. Of course, everybody's either had their head chopped off in the past, or been killed, or hung, or something. They always want to talk about, you know, Queen
Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, we went to see the palace. That was phenomenal because it was so huge. I'd never seen anything like it. You would like this. Now, this is kind of a joke. They made a joke. They went in there and they showed us the king's bedroom. And of course, it was like, I would say about what a regular king size bed would look like now. Then when we get to the other bedroom where the queen is, it's like twice as big as his bed. So does it make any sense why the king size bed in America is bigger than the queen size bed when the queen's bed's bigger? So think about that one.
Maybe she was a big old gal and just needed a bigger bed. I don't know.
She was a big gal sometimes because I think she had several children.
Really?
And it was sad the way it ended. I think only one of the children survived the revolution. The male child, they cut everybody else's head off or hung them. The children, they put into a prison, I was told. The male child went into a prison and they let him starve to death. Get rid of him. They didn't want to kill him because he was a kid.
No more carefree hours. No more doing whatever you want, whenever you want. No more peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
And then this is what the guides told us. I didn't check this, so you could check the history and I might be off. But one female child got away because they didn't care because she was female. They said she was too far down the lineage to matter. She would never cause a threat. So she was the only one that survived, supposedly, out of that dynasty. I would call it the last dynasty of the French monarch. I think it was King Louis the 17th or something like that.
That brings to mind another Three Stooges joke. They went in this fancy hotel and they said, this bed goes back to Louis the 14th. And then Curtis says, yeah, we had a couch that went back to Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the grounds of that palace went for miles.
Really?
And I'm talking about in the back. In the back, you have all these steps that go down to all these fountains. And for some reason, they believed highly of the Greek gods like Zeus and Mars and all those people, you know, Apollo. They had them all around. And then, of course, Venus and all these other, you know, supposed gods, statues of them. So evidently they were involved. But then, of course, when Christianity got in there, I guess it bumped them over. But when you looked out through the back end of the palace, it was like a big rectangle going for miles, trees on each side, and water ponds, like a big lake way off somewhere. But in between all these different statues, we said, well, how long is this thing? And they said, well, it'd take you about an hour walking real fast to get to the end of it.
Wow.
I couldn't see the end. It was so long. I mean, as far as the eye could see, and I was up high, I could see this thing just going on and on and on. The gardens or the backyard, if you want to call it, was, I don't know, probably how fast can a man walk if he's walking real brisk, 3 miles an hour? It's probably 3 miles long.
Wow. I got a question. You got to see the Eiffel Tower. Is it as cool looking in person as it is on TV and in pictures and everything?
Oh, yeah. And let me tell you something about that. Now, when we checked in, we thought we didn't know we had a really good room. We thought we're just going to get a mediocre 5-star hotel room. So we get in there and it's nice and all, you know, it's got a changing room and a closet that's as big as a room and bathroom connected to it. And, you know, it's nice and all. My wife just happened to hang her head out the window in the changing area, which, you know, you had the closets. And she said, oh my God, look at this. And she was hanging out, and I thought she was going to fall out. She's trying to take pictures. I said, what are you looking at? She said, The Eiffel Tower is just right there.
Wow, that thing's huge.
And everybody else that was in our group couldn't believe that we could see the Eiffel Tower. So they all came up to our room. They said, this is so cool. So all these people hanging out the window trying to take pictures of the Eiffel Tower. And there was these lights shooting off the tower. Looked like laser lights. And yeah. She captured those. And it looked like lightning was striking it. We didn't go to the tower itself. We thought about it. But someone said, you've heard the news. I said, what's the news? They said, somebody's trying to blow up the Eiffel Tower. We've decided we won't go. And I'm going, good idea. They caught them, though. That was kept low profile, I think. Supposedly, they caught this person that was trying to get into the Eiffel Tower with, I don't know what kind of device, if they even had one, but I didn't check that. But that's what everybody was saying. You know, well, you know, you don't want to go there then, because yesterday they caught this person trying to blow the Eiffel Tower up. And another person that was there during that time confirmed it. They said, yeah, we were there and we were up about two flights up, whatever. And they heard this commotion and people yelling and stuff. And they said, run away! Run away! Run away! They got scared. The Eiffel Tower has a mark with these terrorists sometimes. Paris security is very tight. It's very tight. They apprehended whoever they were. I don't know who they were.
That would be kind of like, I guess, you know, New York, the World Trade Center. It was big and, you know, an icon, I guess, or an iconic landmark. So I guess the Eiffel Tower would be the target for over there if there was a terrorist action or something. Plus, you could see into the nudist camp.
Hot diggity dog!
That's right next to it. That's probably why you didn't go. Susan probably didn't want you to.
I got another story for that one.
Okay. Well, all right.
I got another story for that one. You're getting too far ahead on me.
Okay. Well, I'll pull back then.
The River Rhine is where the nudist camp was that we went past.
Oh, really?
Whatever it was, it showed indications of that a little
later. Tell me about the food. What did you get? A lot of the French cuisine?
The hotel that we were in was a 5-star hotel. It's very, very nice. You know, I mean, they would polish your shoes probably if you asked them to. But they had umbrellas because it rains all the time. You know, Missouri, you an umbrella, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yes, thank you very much. The food, though, was completely different because the breads are out of this world. I'd never tasted so much good bread in my life. And the butter and the cheese, all kinds of cheeses, all kinds of desserts. It's just fresh. So me and my wife and several other people had a discussion about this. We decided, and I think we're probably right, that the European countries don't have the same problem that the United States has in transporting food to each area, say like Alabama from New York or wherever the food's going. And so they don't put as many stabilizers in the food. The food tastes so much better if you like the food that you're eating. Now, some of that stuff I didn't like. Like, they had some kind of cheese that starts with a B, and I can't even say what it was, but it looks like white eggs in its gelatin-like stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't set well with me. It didn't taste like anything. But the other cheeses, I really loved them. They're big on all kinds of different things. Truffles. They eat truffles like we'd eat potato chips. That's high-end stuff, you know, but truffles were okay. But, I mean, I wouldn't pay $100 for a truffle.
Mm-hmm.
But the trouble with truffles, I guess.
That's a mushroom, right? The truffle?
I think so. But they had all this different stuff, the milk, the cheeses, the fruits. The fruits were so fresh, the drinks in the 5-star hotel. Everything, we were impressed with it. Of course, you know, the convention people were paying for it, so I didn't worry about it. I just dated. Now, sticker shock, I got it. I thought that it was bad when we went to other places besides Alabama. Alabama has not got sticker shock. The Redneck Riviera has not got sticker shock like what I saw. I mean, it was so shocked, I was electrocuted almost.
So you're meaning stuff was expensive. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's the way you could say it.
So like if you went into McDonald's, John Travolta said that they own the metric system over there, so they don't call it a quarter pounder. They call it a Royale with cheese. So if you went into the McDonald's and got a Royale with cheese, how much was it compared to over here? Or did you make that route?
I did not do that.
Okay. Did you eat any escargot?
It was there. I didn't eat it. It looked like they had just crawled out of the water.
That fresh, huh?
That was that fresh. I'm sure it would have been good for those folks that like to eat that, but I'm just not into those snails.
Princess Leia and I were talking. We decided that if we had been there, we would have tried it at least once just because we were there.
I just wasn't going to do it.
Something else we talked about is when are we all going to get to go on a trip?
Well,
probably going to be the when you go to Arkansas or something. I think we'll be, you know, eating spam and go over to the water tower, not the Eiffel Tower, but the water tower. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you probably could see more from the water tower than you could from the Eiffel Tower because it's so busy, you know, and you get in there. The lady that went in there told us that, you know, you can get to the first level or maybe the third level, you know, with an elevator, but there's this last level that you have to, and it's real tall. It's like the antenna of the Eiffel Tower, okay? You have to climb up a lot of steps, and supposedly somebody lived up there for years up on top of the Eiffel Tower.
There is an apartment up there. I've read who built it. I guess the guy who built it built that in there, and somebody did live up there. And I understand the Eiffel Tower, and I looked it up and was going to be prepared, but it was built, I believe it was for like the 1886 or 1888 Exposition World Fair, you know?
Yes.
And they were going to tear it down. And somebody
That's
said,
right. They were going to tear it down.
And somebody says, the tourists would pay great deals of money to come and see this. You think
they were right.
Yeah, and people have it. I think they paint it all the time. They're always painting it, making sure that the rust is not getting in there.
Yeah.
And they got lights all over it.
They're very proud of the Eiffel Tower. And they should be.
Yeah, I think Paris is called the City of Lights, right?
Yes.
They put lights all over it all the time.
It's a beautiful place. I can tell you this. They don't know anything about how to cook steak.
Really?
No. One night we had a free night. There was a steakhouse. It was not far from where we were staying. Yeah. I said, I want to just go in that steakhouse. Susan said, well, you know, you're in France. You want to eat steak? I said, yeah, I think I do. So we go in there because I want to see how they cook this steak in France. So we go in there and sit down. And, of course, the guy couldn't hardly understand what I was asking. I said, you got any ribeye? He shook his head. No ribeye. And I'm going, what do you have that's got some fat in it? Well, we have this real good steak on the bone. It's very, very expensive kind of steak.
Sound like a T-bone or something.
Well, I was thinking, okay. He said, it's part of the filet. I'm going, well, okay, I'll try some of that. So they bring it in, and it has no seasoning on it. It's never been marinated.
Mm-hmm.
It has the taste of charcoal.
Yummy.
Yeah.
And I said, do you have any steak sauce? He looked at me like I was a nut. And I'm going, okay. So I just ate it, and I told Susan, this is terrible. I mean, it's okay, but these folks don't know what a real good steak is. They don't marinate their steaks here. They think the charcoal taste, I guess, is what they're looking for. It was a sirloin.
I can see where this would be a money-making proposition for you. Go on over there and open up Dave's Steakhouse over there in Paris, France, and be selling these French folks a good steak and see what happens.
I bet it would work. Well, it would on that street for sure, because that was not the kind of steak I was expecting.
What do they eat other than steak? Do they eat pork? Do they eat a lot of chicken? They eat a lot of chicken,
and they eat a lot of bread and a lot of cheese. From Paris, after 5 days, we got on a train. I call it the bullet train. I don't know what it really is. It goes up to 186 miles an hour. It goes through Brussels and some other places, but it goes right through Belgium, right down the middle of it, and it goes from Paris to Amsterdam in the Netherlands, and it took 3.5 hours.
Wow.
There's another train you could ride. It took 8.5 hours. I said, I don't want to ride that train. It takes too long. It was probably a regular train, not a fast train. While we were on the train, they served us all this food, and it was really good. And drinks, whatever you wanted. They love wine. They're all into wine. Of course, you know, they're French. I guess that's why.
Oui, oui.
It would be.
Oui, oui.
After we had eaten, along came these security folks. And they come up to us and they said, you know, they want to see our passports. We show it to them. They wanted to see our driver's license. We show it to them. They ask all kinds of questions like, where are you coming from? What'd you do? Do you have any cigarettes? Do you have any cannabis? You got all these crazy questions. Of course, no. You know, we're coming from the United States. We came through this way. Where are you going? Where are you headed? We had to tell them everything. And we told them everything. We thought, well, they're just checking everybody. They walk through and there's other people from the United States. They just walk through the car to the next level and didn't say anything to anybody else.
I'm a victim of circumstance.
I said, did we look suspicious?
You look suspicious. I know that's what it was. Sitting around there eating steaks and all this kind of stuff. And he looks suspicious. He think it's steak. What is wrong with him?
Well, they didn't have any security when you come on, as far as like you would on an airplane.
Yeah.
Where you would be checked with X-ray or any of that stuff. They let you on. Someone said, well, yeah, about a year or two ago, someone tried to put a bomb in the bathroom on this very train. I'm going, don't tell me that kind of stuff.
You never heard he blew up the bathroom. That's what it was. That's what the guy was doing.
Oh, my.
I know. Anyway, it was an interesting trip. The countryside was beautiful. They had windmills everywhere on the way.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful flowers growing everywhere. They had all kinds of things you wanted to see in the States. This country has wealth. All those countries are wealthy. There's money there. I was talking to a lady that went there. She asked one of them why they didn't like Americans. And she said that they told her it's because we have everything. And I thought, well, that ain't what I saw. We don't have everything. We have to owe on everything. We're paying on everything, but we don't have everything. But you know what? We want to hang on to everything that we got.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, I was just reading the other day where there's more people saying that we're about to have some type of correction or collapse or something. I hope they're wrong. And some experts are saying we're at the highest point we've ever been since the Great Depression and that this is going to work out like the roaring 20s again. I have no idea, but you know, it's scary talk. So I hope that if this is true, that people that are past 55 are going to consider protecting their assets, because our country is definitely protecting the assets of NATO, which France is part of, and all these other countries that I'll talk about when we come back. But we got to hang on to what we got. Oh, they don't understand Donald Trump. I'll talk about that when I get back.
Okay. Well, everybody stay where you are. More of this riveting story of David's globetrotting when we come back with the second half of the Health and Wealth Show.
Concerned about your retirement? Call David Ernest now at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. David Ernest will return after these important messages on the Health and Wealth Radio Network.
Hello, sports fans. Chris Cleats here, stepping out from behind the sports microphone and standing here today in front of the office of asset preservationist David Ernest. I've been talking with a few people here, and sir, you told me this is your first time visiting David Ernest. Why did you wait so long?
I got hairy legs.
I see. Well, ma'am, I understand you made a long trip to get here. How are you feeling?
I don't feel no ways tired.
Well, how about you, ma'am? Do you have time to talk with me today?
I'm gonna get me a beer.
Well, okay. Ma'am, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Don't mess with me.
Right. Well, they probably came to see David Ernest because they know he has nearly 40 years of experience as an asset preservationist. He's going to take care of your money like it was his very own. Call him today at 279-7431. That's 279-7431. Sir, would you like the final word in this interview?
I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
Call David Ernest today and somebody get me out of here.
Yeah, I'd like to do one now by old Blue Eye, Frank Sinatra. Oh yeah, they called him Blue Eye. Not many people know this, but Frank Sinatra was a Cyclops. Little fact for you. If I don't see her for a day, well, brother, let me tell you, that's okay. Not the best looking girl in the place. She's Nancy with a hatchet face. See her on TV all the time. Quoted the Constitution. Yes, she said it. Man, I'll bet that heifer never even read it. She's a big disgrace, Nancy with the hatchet face. Thank you, you're beautiful. Hey, by the way, old friend of mine's in town. I want to have him come up and take a shot at the next verse of this old standard. Sammy, where are you, Sammy?
Right here, man.
Hey, good to see you, brother. Why don't you take the next verse?
Hey, man, that would be groovy.
No, man. You're groovy.
No, man. You're groovy.
Hey, we're both groovy. Sing, brother.
Well, she's got those big old eyes
and some great big bulgy thighs. And that mouth, man, it's all over the place. It's Nancy with that jacked up face. Oh, it's hideous, man. It's hideous.
Great job, Sam.
You want me to do a little Bojangles, man?
No, we don't have time.
Oh, come on, man. Just a little.
No.
Come on, man. His dog up and died, man.
No, we don't have time.
You do it for Dino, man.
When Dean gets here, we'll talk.
Welcome back to the Health and Wealth Show.
And as the young lady said, welcome back. And welcome back, David Ernest. You were gone out of the country how many days?
My vet charged me 16 days of boarding the dog, so I guess I was gone 15 days.
Wow. And you had trouble getting out of France, I understand.
Had a lot of trouble getting out of France. Well, actually, getting out of Switzerland.
Really?
Yeah. At the end of the riverboat tour, we ended up in a place called Basel, Switzerland. It's the end of the Rhine on the bottom. Well, almost the end. So we went to the airport in Basel, and they took our luggage. And they said, okay, the plane's going to fly, you know, at such and such time. So we're sitting around and said, you know, time for the loading and all this stuff. And then it says, okay, we're going to have to move up the time that you're going to get on the plane. They moved it up like 15, 20 minutes. Then they moved it up again. Then they moved it up again. They moved it up like 4, 5, 6 times. And yeah. Then finally they said, cancel.
What the f***?
No. Yeah. Wee.
Oh, son of a bitty bit. Son of a bitty gun.
Yep. They canceled it on us. So there was this group there from Viking Riverboat. And evidently they had some kind of privileges that I don't know about. They rushed in and they grabbed all these tickets that were available for whatever the next plane was. And here I was trying to learn how to speak French and find a way to get in there and trying to talk to Delta at the same time. And the people that were with us, they had to wait 2 days to fly out of Basel.
Man.
So I said, I'm not going to go another 2 days here. I'm ready to go home. I got to talk some business here. So I talked to Delta and Air France, and they got me and Susan a cab, and we rode an hour and a half from Basel, France. Basel is in Switzerland, but that Basel airport is in France.
Okay.
Kind of weird.
That's not right.
Basel, it kind of comes together, Germany, France, and Switzerland all kind of right there together. It's sort of like they all end in the same spot.
Right.
So the cab driver comes and gets us. He's late. He comes about an hour later. We're sitting around waiting. He can't speak English very well. I had to use sign language to understand what to do. So we get in the cab, and lo and behold, on the way to Zurich, Switzerland, he starts delivering food or medicine or something about 3 or 4 different places. And
like an Uber.
So sorry. And now we're on the way, but he's broken English. And so we get on the interstate, and we drive like an hour and a half. We get to Switzerland, and he says, your hotel down below, go down below. Well, we get off, you know where all the terminals are and everything. I'm looking, there's nothing down below. So it costs like 168 euros to take that trip. I didn't have to pay for it, though. I did give him $10.
How much is that in American money?
I think it's about 92% for every American dollar is 92 cents, 8% less.
Okay,
American dollars worth a dollar, they're worth 92 cents.
So it's like 150 bucks.
Probably, something like that. And plus, he got a $20 tip. So we get out, we're rolling these suitcases around trying to find out where's down below. And we're going down below and the elevators and everything, looking around, can't find anything. Long story short.
Too late, baby, now it's too late.
I looked and looked and looked for someone who could speak English. And when I could find someone that could mumble a little bit of English, they said, don't, you know, we did it. So every time you go that way, you know.
What did they say?
What
did they say?
Don't that though, you know, we did right away.
Oh, I didn't, that away. Okay, I heard you say that it is away. I'm thinking, well, I could speak French. But anyway, you know, they said
these people in Switzerland, most of them speak German. A few of them speak French, and a few of them speak other things like Danish or whatever. I did not realize this, but the majority of people in Switzerland speak German.
How about that?
70% of them.
Wow.
And to my knowledge, they don't have a language for Switzerland.
Yeah, I'm thinking Dutch and German.
No, they don't.
And a lot of folks, I've never been, but I understand all those countries like France and Germany, and they're all right there together. You get in the car and drive over there.
Yeah, you can. I'll say this about Switzerland Airport. It looked immaculate. It was new. It smelled, you know how a new car smells new and a new building smells. Everything smelled new and everything looked new. Everybody looked fresh. I guess you could say dialed up. That's a moneyed place. It's not like Atlanta. Atlanta would be like a 1-star versus a 5-star in Switzerland Airport. In Basel, which was about an hour and a half away, it looked worse than Atlanta.
Ugh, yuck.
One thing I learned about Atlanta is if you land in a plane and you got to make a connection, you're going to land all the way on one end of the airport and your plane is taking off in 5 minutes and it's all the way on the other end of the airport.
Come on, man.
There you go.
They used to have a little cart that you can get on and they'll take you over there. If they don't, you got to like hoof it over there.
Oh, yeah. And, well, then, and, you know, the carts seem to be few and further between. But anyway, we flew from there to Charles de Gaulle, got on another Air France flight and flew over to America. But anyway, we were supposed to originally fly from Basel to Paris and get on a Delta flight. I already had lay down beds. I'm a diamond when it comes to like flying and everything because I use a credit card. And essentially I'd already been promoted to, you know, getting the super first class. Well, I lost all of that because of these dumb French airplanes. You know, not being on time and then canceling.
And how long was that flight from France?
It was from Paris. It was close to 9 hours.
Great horny toad!
Did they let you get up and move around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go to the bathroom, move around, yeah.
That's a long time to be sitting down, you know.
I know it. It is. I've never been so glad to get back in the States. But anyway, let me go backwards from Amsterdam. We did see the naughty side of Amsterdam.
You naughty, naughty.
Tonight. Oh, did you? Did you
get, yeah, we did saw you get, the naughty side.
Did,
it's not
did
what
you get pictures?
Is.
Did you get pictures?
No, you can't take pictures.
No.
No, no. They'll take your camera away from you.
Oh, that's just
you wouldn't
wrong.
Want to take pictures anyway. It's not what you think. It's no. You'd be better off going to a beach.
Well, you know, in the movies, prostitutes and those women of the evening, they're usually very nice looking. In real life, it's like they're not.
I will tell you this. There was three windows with three people standing in them, three girls. We walked by and my wife said, don't look.
Don't look at them!
I'm going, well, why not? We went around to a restaurant and ate. We came back just to check some other stuff out. And they, all their window things were drawn tight.
Drinks.
I guess it got busy.
It was the rush hour, I guess. Yeah.
I guess it was.
And they had to sign out 2-for-1 or something like that.
Something like that. We walked around. That's what everybody does. They walk around in that area. It's sort of like New Orleans in a way. Honestly, it didn't impress me. It didn't impress me. I mean, it's okay. I was more impressed about other places that I'll talk about.
Did you get you one of them little beret caps and get paint your little pencil thin mustache and sit out in one of them little cafes drinking?
No, I had an Alabama hat on.
Oh, you were a sport.
Well, my Auburn friends didn't much like it, but that's okay. I love Auburn anyway.
I'm sure they'll get over that.
Yeah, they will.
But you had a good time. That's what's important.
We had a great time.
You got some rest and everything.
Well, I'm working on it.
Kind of a letdown that there wasn't more of an adventure in Amsterdam. I expected some wild, crazy something to happen to you, but I guess it didn't.
Well, the only thing that happened to us is we almost got lost trying to walk around and find our hotel or our bed and breakfast, but we found it. The streets, they're not in English.
Well, yeah.
So the next morning, the cab came and got us. I'll tell you about the cabs. So while I was on the train, this thing popped up and says, you know, reserve your taxi. And they said, for 197 euros, we could take you to the hotel. And I said, 197 euros? That's almost 200 bucks.
Sacre bleu.
I'm going,
oh, hell no.
I don't think so. So we get to the airport. My wife said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You should have. I said, no, I think I can do better. I open up the Uber app, and it says 337 euros. Then I'm getting really tongue-lashed, right? You really messed up. I said, no. Let's just go to the cab area where the cabs are. And, of course, it took 49 euros to go like 8 miles.
Shazam.
Unbelievable. If you were in the United States, that would have cost you $7 or $8. But it was better than the original 197 euros versus 337 euros versus 49 euros.
Now, the cabs, pretty nice vehicles.
No, they're just regular cabs. They got the little thing on top like a cab. They're regular vehicles. No, there's nothing fancy about them. Bicycles everywhere, though. Let me just tell you, in France, in Amsterdam, if you don't get out of the way, they'll knock you out of the way. They will not stop. They yell at you. They'll cuss you. If you're standing in their path, they're going to run over you. You're in the road, as far as they're concerned, and you're stupid for being there. Later on in the tours, they would scream, "Here comes a bike, get out of the way of the bikes." And the bikes would just come flying through with their little horn, oh, oh, or somebody making some ugly gesture or saying some ugly word to you. You know, get out of the way, fool, American.
Did you ride bikes? Did you get a bike and ride?
No, we didn't ride any bikes. We could have rode some electric bikes, but we didn't. They had some of those.
They don't ride bikes like they do over here.
No, they don't. And they mean business when they ride the bikes because everybody's got a bike. Grandmas are on bikes and grandpas are on bikes.
Did you see any very nice looking ladies that weren't in a window, or did you see any nice looking guys? I mean,
there was very nice looking people everywhere. Most of the people were a lot younger than our group. You look at them and say, well, you know, that's in the good old days. But I don't know. You see a few old people on the bicycles, but you didn't see very many of them. I guess they retired. They're sitting there and hoping that the government going to take care of them because their governments do.
Let me ask you this. I mean, did anybody come up and ask you what you did? You know, you're traveling. Or are you from America? What do you do over there?
A few people did, but they were mostly people that were traveling like if we were traveling.
Oh, okay.
Not so much of the people, the citizens. I think they were irritated that we were there, a lot of them. Not all of them. Now, I will tell you this, while we were on this riverboat, before the end of the riverboat, we were sitting in a lounge talking to some people from Australia.
G'day, mate.
That we'd made some friends with. I looked out the window. I said, look at that. And it was a man and a woman standing on the banks of the Rhine River, naked as jaybirds.
Lord, have mercy.
So this was the nudist colony y'all went. Did you get pictures?
We all laughed at them and said, we had to see this before we left, right? But they were just standing out on the banks of the river naked, just looking at us, waving at us.
Casually standing around naked, waving. Now were these people there's some people that and there's some people you're thinking, I wish you had some clothes on, because.
One of them I wish they did. The other one, I don't know.
You don't know?
Anyway, it didn't matter.
Okay. Because I would not subject anybody to that, me to go to a nudist colony.
Don't look at them!
I don't think it was nudist colony. I just think it was some people trying to be different. I guess. I don't know. Because there were some people standing behind them that seemed to have some clothes on. So I don't know. Maybe it was a dare. Maybe they were going to go swimming. Maybe they'd been swimming. I don't know. You don't normally swim in the Rhine River. I've heard that it's very dangerous, that the currents can get you. I don't know what they were doing. There's a lot of people that have been fishing, and I don't think they were equipped to fish.
I got a line, but I ain't going to go there.
I mean, I just saw them for a few moments because we were floating down and, you know, we said, hey, look at that.
No, sir. I didn't like it.
Mon Dieu.
The other thing that was strange is that on one side of the bank was Germany and the other side of the bank was France.
Yeah.
They could actually wave at each other. But the French people didn't seem to want to have anything to do with the Germans for some reason, it seemed like.
Well, there's some animosity that goes back a few decades, I think. There was some kind of a dust up over there, I'm not sure.
I think so, yeah. One of the tour guides was a younger girl. She was about 30 years old. We stopped off the Rhine there and she carried us around, you know, on foot, showed us some things. And she started crying. And she said, I've become so moved when I see these things that I'm showing you because it had to do with the Holocaust. What they've done is they've gone out and they've found all of the Jewish people that died in the Holocaust that they could find. And they put these things called stumbling blocks in front. They're actually brass kind of things, sort of like when you're walking in those stars, they put their name on it as a star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like that. They're just the brass in the sidewalk. And what it is they're honoring the people that died in the Holocaust, but it was in every country. We saw these in Germany. We saw these in Amsterdam. We saw these in France. They're there. There was a lot of them that died. She was very upset. She's a German. And she said, people in my age group, my generation is how she said it, are very upset that we have to bear this burden of all this terrible stuff that happened. Most of the people really, really resent the fact that their country did that. Now, I didn't meet any of the other side, the skinheads, so-called skinheads, and the ones that believe that the Nazis were right and everything. Actually, they're a minority, but I could tell that there's a lot of emotion because the girl actually cried. She's a teacher. She teaches children, and also she works at the library, which was at this location. And she was very adamant about letting us know that she is very much ashamed of that part of the history of their country. And so that kind of touched me. because there was someone feeling something about the things that Hitler did, and the Nazis did, and telling us, you know, they feel ashamed.
Yeah.
But now, the other questions they ask, some of them say, understand, you guys have guns in America. I said, yeah, I got about 5, 6, 7 guns in one room. They said, why do you do that? I think some of them were very jealous because we went to one place. It was called a beer garden. All these beer joints are called beer gardens, a lot of them. Went in there, and I said, I'm going to try this beer. And we sat down, and the guy, he gets mad because my wife pulls out a piece of bread. I think it was a croissant of some kind that she got next door. Here we are buying drinks. And he said, no, not here. No American, not here.
You can't have the bread or can't bring in food.
Can't bring in food or anything.
Sounds like a movie theater. Okay,
right? Put it away. So we asked him, you know, how do we pay you? He said, you go to building. Go to building. And I thought, well, I go to building. So I go to the building and I asked the supervisor in there. I said, okay, who do I pay? He said, you go pay. You got kind of aggravated. He said, you go pay your server, you American. I'm going, What?
What you talking about, Luke?
That's kind of some kind of, I don't know what it was, but I picked up on it. That place had some resentment. I don't know. Maybe some people come in there and do things that they don't like them doing, like eating bread that they bought next door.
I understand that they don't serve beer cold. It's kind of warm, isn't it?
Well, they serve it both ways.
Both ways?
It's not hot by any means. Mm-hmm. But I did get asked, do you want cold beer or warm beer once? I didn't drink any dark beer. I just drank a little bit of a light beer because, you know, I'd be just experimenting with it. Mm-hmm. I will say this. The beer is better. It tasted better.
Yeah.
Maybe it was in my mind, but it did. Or maybe I was just hot because I'd been walking all over the place.
Yeah.
But it did taste better.
I had a friend who used to make his own beer, and he would put a trash bag in a big old garbage can, and he would put all his stuff in there, mix it up, and cover it up and sit it in a dark room for like, several weeks. And then he had beer. And some of this beer, I never thought beer would be chewy, but you just about had to chew it up. It was so thick. It was like a lager or something. Their idea of beer and our idea of beer a lot of times is different. They just have a lot of different beers.
It's very unique. And of course, mm-hmm. you want to experience uniqueness. The chocolates were wonderful. My Ooh. Wife, Susan, she bought so much chocolate, I didn't know if we were to get it out of to the United States. They loaded their suitcases down. But she said, I want this chocolate. I want that chocolate. And then, so if anybody wants to taste some chocolate, let me know. Because this chocolate, I don't know if we'll ever be able to eat all of it unless we have to give it away.
We're getting close to quitting time here, but we got a couple of more minutes, but I wanted to ask a couple more questions. We talked about the food. We talked about, are there any asset preservationists over there? You've been talking about chocolate, and that kind of got me off track.
Well, I will tell you this. I said I would talk about this a little earlier. They don't understand Donald Trump. Your politics. We don't understand your politics. And I'm going, well, you know, Donald Trump. Yeah, Donald Trump. So I found out, because everywhere we went, they had CNN and they had MSNBC, but they didn't have Fox anywhere that we could find. And one girl that was flying over to America, she said, I've been listening to CNN and MSNBC to find out how the news and how to act and everything in America. And I said, well, you listen to a bunch of liars. She was puzzled. She said, what? I said, those are the people that don't like Trump and they tell a bunch of lies. I said, when you come to America, because you can't find it in France easily, listen to Fox and Newsmax and those kind of stations. She said, really? I said, yeah. I mean, and yeah, we do believe they stole the votes. They're mystified. They have so much propaganda from the United States, MSNBC and CNN. They think we're a bunch of crazies if we're not a liberal. The ones that I talk to, they honestly believe we've lost our minds because they've been brainwashed.
Well, they just know what they've seen and what they've been told.
I know. I told a few, and I might have made a believer out of some of them. But I can tell you something is, you don't want to be made a believer out of the stock market could crash or go down, because let me just tell you, it's looking very iffy. It's been looking iffy now for several years. I don't know what's going to happen. We do think the stock market is somewhere that people should invest long range. And absolutely, as you get older, like 50, 55 years old, you need to probably come out of this thing, or at least by 60 years old. Unless you're just super, super wealthy, it doesn't make any sense to stay in it so heavily. The next show, we'll talk about this. There's several folks that forecast a 2008 landslide drop that are saying this time it's going to be worse. It's so scary. All I'm going to leave is my 68 cents in there.
There you go.
I'm just going to put the rest of it in FIAs or something I can't lose my assets in or own, whatever.
Okay. Now, I got another question. We're just full of questions now. There's a show that was on. It's British TV, and it depicts the French underground during World War II.
Yeah.
The name of it is Allo, Allo. And that's how they answer the phone. Allo, Allo. And they were doing all this spy stuff. And there was an interesting invention that they had. I wanted to see if you ran across one. And you're going to think I'm lying, but there is a thing in the street that you walk into. And basically, it's a urinal. And you can see whoever's standing there. You can see like the bottom part of their legs from the knee down. And you can see their head. They're standing there taking a whiz. But the name of it is a pissoir. I'm not kidding. That's the name of it. Did you happen to run up on a pissoir?
No, I didn't see anything like that. I did see some stuff that were more ancient that looked worse than that, but I didn't see a pissoir.
Well, I'll send you a picture of one so you can see what I'm talking about. I'm not making it up. That's the thing I would have got a picture of. I got a picture of the Eiffel Tower and the Hoochie ladies over in Amsterdam. Somehow,
oh, they take your camera away from
that. I'd have had somebody start a disturbance, and I'll get some pictures. And then I would have got a picture of the pissoir. But David, I want to tell everybody, don't let your money go the way of the pissoir. Make sure you call David Ernest, a certified bona fide.
He's bona fide.
Yeah, he's bona fide, all right. He is an asset preservationist who's been to France, so he's been around. Just call him up. And I'll have some numbers for you here in just a second. And glad to have you back, man. We'll talk more. Maybe next time we'll get some other stories. Did you bring any souvenirs?
Oh, yeah, lots of chocolate.
Souvenir chocolate. All right. Appreciate it.
Folks. I brought a Swiss chocolate knife. How about that?
Oh, really?
Oh, several of them, yeah.
Well, actually, a Swiss chocolate knife?
Yeah.
Be careful. Don't cut your lip on the corkscrew.
I thought they were going to stop us in the airport. Just kidding.
For Swiss chocolate knife, huh? All right, man. We'll see y'all next time right here on the Health and Wealth Show. You can go in that pissoir and go, wee-wee.
Wee-wee.
Wee-wee. Huh-huh.
And now, let's end this meeting on a high note.
Call David now at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
This is your roving reporter, and today I'm speaking with an adventurer here in the Himalayas who is searching for the abominable snowman.
Hey man, what's happening?
How is your search going?
Not too bad, man. It's kind of windy out here today, so I'm taking a short break to call my money man, David Ernest.
The world famous asset preservationist.
Yeah man, that's him. He is my money man, you know.
Well, what number are you calling?
He has two, man. 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
And after you talk with him to make sure that everything is fine with your retirement money, you will continue your search.
That's right, man. As a matter of fact, before you came up, I thought I spotted the abominable snowman over there.
Over there?
Yeah, right over there. He was standing next to a snowbank, putting snow up his nose.
Let me see those binoculars. Oh, sorry.
That's not him?
Nope. That's Hunter Biden.
Hush up, boy.
Time for another edition of Did You Know? We all know that Goober from The Andy Griffith Show did a spot-on impression of Cary Grant. But did you know that the same impression could be done by Paul McCartney? And he also tried out for the part of Goober.
What?
Just listen. Just imagine how different Mayberry would have been with Paul McCartney working down at Wally's Filling Station.
Shazam.
What do you think, Barney?
Nip it in the bud.
Tune in again next time for another edition of Did You Know?
Are you a man? Are you a manly man? Are you a manly man who likes dancing with other manly men? If you answered yes, 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 then you should come visit us at Maurice's Manly Man Dance Club.
What?
What? Come in and enjoy a quality cigar, a fine liqueur, and perhaps a cha-cha with a chum of yours. Do the Texas two-step with Tom. Do the Lindy with your friend Larry. How about the hustle with your pal Russell? It's all waiting here for you at Maurice's Manly Man Dance Club. It's nothing crazy. It's just men dancing with men and nothing else.
Don't look at them!
Happy hour is at 6, then dancing at 7 and throughout the evening. However, we do stop at 9 o'clock for back-to-back Golden Girls episodes on TBS. Ah! Then back to dancing. So come and visit Maurice's Manly Man Dance Club. You can shake it, but don't break it. Call Sears and Roebuck, don't make it.
Oh, you're not a bad dancer. Oh, I bet you tell that to all the boys.
And remember, no hanky-panky, just the hokey-pokey.
It's got to be funky.
At Maurice's Manly Man Dance Club. Thursday is ladies' night. Ladies, you might not find the dance partner, but you do get in for free.
Y'all make me sick.
Maurice's Manly Man Dance Club, where manly men come to trip. Delight fantastic.
You got to be kidding.
This is your roving reporter. Today I'm talking with a lumberjack.
Like what's shaking, Crispy Bacon?
I'm just checking in to see what lumberjacks do to make sure their retirement is going to be there and ready when they're ready.
Well, like any smart lumberjack, we don't hide our money in a hollow tree. We call David Ernest,
Alabama's favorite asset preservationist.
That's right, man. We call him at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
I see. I can also see you have a lot of lumberjacks working out here today.
That's right, man, like the new dude over there.
The new dude?
His older brother was a famous actor who was on TV and in movies.
And just who might that actor be?
Raymond Burr, man.
You mean Perry Mason and Ironside?
That's him, man, yeah.
Well, what's the first name of the new dude?
His name is Tim, man, but don't say it to...
You mean Tim Burr?
Oh, now you done it, man. Run!
4 minutes. 4 minutes. 4 minutes is about how long they say that eclipse is going to last. And that's just how long the bargains are going to last down at the wholesale outlet store. You can get unbelievable savings for just 4 minutes during the eclipse sale. Yep, when it starts getting dark, the bargains begin. You can pick up a brand new in-ground swimming pool for just $4.
What?
How about a 7-day cruise to a tropical destination? Just $4.
Wow.
It's getting darker and darker. How about your very own helicopter? You can pick the kids up from school, make your daily Walmart run, or just annoy the neighbors with the noise from your takeoffs and landings.
Too loud, man.
And that brand new helicopter is, well, guess how much? $4. During the eclipse sale. Did you ever want to look like one of them Hollywood movie stars?
Certainly.
We got nose jobs, boob jobs, face lifts, and tummy tucks, and we'll suck some of the fat out of your buttocks, put it in your lips, so when you whistle, it sounds like this. And it's all just $4 right now during the eclipse sale, right down here at the wholesale outlet. But when the light level goes up, so do the prices. So you need to get on down here right now to the wholesale outlet. Here's the address. Uh-oh. Well, it's too dark to read. And we can only keep these prices in the dark for just so long. And it looks like the eclipse is over, so long. And according to the calendar, we won't have another sale like this till the tornado sale, when we'll have prices that'll blow you away. Down here at the wholesale outlet, prices are subject to change. Look for our coupon in the Grit magazine, and no rain checks. No kidding.
It's a twister. It's a twister.
This is the Health and Wealth Radio Network.
Aren't you funny?